the good part story.
With Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
Friday the 27th of November. Catch up podcast, Marto, Margo and Nick.
Can we say all of the things that we couldn't say on air? Like, Nick Cody, you f***ing c***. Leaving us.
You're dead to us.
My favourite
podcast. I'm going to bash you.
Our favourite podcast intro was that day we just went f***ity f***, and made it hard for Dave.
Yeah. It is my last show, guys. So in the spirit of things and the spirit of the podcast intro, let's go. Let's get out of here. Who cares?
F*** you, Dave. Dave, that's three c***s. So can you make sure you beep all of them?
Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
Hey, front page of The Australian. You know, have you seen this story about this Melbourne academic?
The woman that they traded.
Kylie Moore Gilbert had been in a jail in Tehran, in Iran. For the last 2 years, and finally she got out. Why
Welcome
2 years
home.
Ago? You could have gone to Paris. Oh, I wouldn't mind going to South African animal safari. Oh, New York's good at this time of year. Who chooses to go to Iran in the first place?
Was she doing studies?
She was, she was looking.
Use the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. There's photos. Get a drone up there.
She was doing research and studying over there something, wasn't she? I'm not wholly across it, but I just saw that she's back.
No,
welcome back.
The reality that's is great. She does. She studies. She's an expert in Middle Eastern affairs. So obviously that's why she went there to analyse things and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she got grabbed and they tried to ransom her off for money to start with. Then, of course, it's gotten to this stage.
Iranian media says Dr. Moore Gilbert is being exchanged for three Iranians who'd been jailed overseas. They were not named, but two appear to be convicted terrorists who were being held in Thailand.
Okay, let's not analyse this too deeply, but three people for her. You think, is that a fair swap?
Not really.
And did you see the pictures of them? Anyone seen the pictures of the terrorists?
No.
All right. They've been described as botching a bomb attempt. Two of them are in wheelchairs. Their legs are both missing below their above near their neck.
We've given them
one human and two half men in exchange for this woman. And I'm just, they're really bad at bombing stuff. Let's give them back because they'll just stuff something up again and kill someone. So it's a fair swap. What looked like,
as long as they do it in their own country and not here.
The old three-for-one swap is actually just two half men and another idiot. Good swap.
It's a foreign affairs report on The Big Breakfast.
That's enough.
Triple M.
Yeah, sometimes we talk about left field stuff and we go out there a little bit. And
us? Never.
I got one, and I'm not expecting anyone to call, but it started with this. This is my best mate, okay, lives over here at West End. He said he doesn't acknowledge that I work on radio, okay? He refuses to ever listen.
He's still just a chippy.
No, he was actually my best mate, but he's a builder. I did my apprenticeship with him then. Now he's an architect of all things. So he's the most wonderful thing. A builder who became an architect actually knows what he's doing, in my opinion. He doesn't acknowledge that I work on radio anyway. He's a little bit embarrassed to
doesn't
know me.
Listen.
He said, have you ever spoken on that morning thing, that's the radio show, to people that have done things that they think no one else has ever done? Okay, he leaves that yesterday afternoon, and I rang him back. I said, what are you going on? He said, I just drove over the William Jolly Bridge. Can you describe what the William Jolly Bridge is, Nick? You know, the three arches that, travels between North Quay and
South Bank.
Okay, three arches on it. Is that the way you describe the William Jolly Bridge?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
All right, he's driving across that, and he said, what I'm talking about, he said, were we living together when I rode my bike over the arches? This is yesterday afternoon, about 5:30. He was on his way to a meeting or something. Yeah.
No.
And I said, we've run over, because we used to live at Paddington, the two of us. We were a bit wild when we were in our 20s. And there was leaving World Expo. We would have been 23 or 4. Leaving World Expo, there was a German beer hall there for 6 months. It's the only place we went at the whole 6 months of Expo. And we used to come back. And I said, twice we ran over it. He said, no. The night I rode the bike over all three arches on the William Jolly Bridge. I wasn't with him, but he came home that night and told me, and of course I believed him. For some reason, yesterday afternoon, after all that time, is that 32 years? Yeah. After all that time, he said, do you remember that night? And that's why he sent that note.
We don't think anyone else has ever
ridden a bike over the three arches of the William Jolly Bridge on the western side.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, Well,
please,
that's why
just for everybody out there, do not try this at home. No. We don't want to encourage any sort of.
And that's unless you've got a three arch bridge in your backyard, then probably practice there, then go to the real one.
Because if you fell off the side of that,
you'd be in a lot of trouble. Gonskis. You'd fall in the drink, and you could die.
You could.
All right. Well, I just want to know. I know that's looking back. There's a lot of this behaviour used to happen. I'm not saying it happens so much. But is there anybody driving in right now that reckons they've done something that no one else has ever done?
Oh, I see.
I think I took the longest way to get somewhere in the world. I was over in the States doing gigs. Yeah. I was in Las Vegas. I got a call from the Army, the Australian Armed Forces, saying, we want you to do gigs in the Middle East. I said, hot diggity. I can just fly there. It won't take that long from the US to the UAE. But they said, no, because it's with the Army, you've got to be on board a military aircraft. So we need you to come to Australia before going to the Middle East. So I went Vegas to LA, LA to Auckland, Auckland to Sydney, and then hopped on the military plane and went Sydney to Darwin, Darwin to Dubai, Dubai to Bahrain.
Give us an hour figure.
I reckon 50-odd hours in the sky, so 70-odd hours total, and I was maggot.
Yuck.
Oh, Jesus.
You know how bad it is to be drunk in Vegas and then hungover in Bahrain? Not a good time.
3 days later, that is magnificent. Did we get anyone calling?
Yeah, 13353. Casey from Eaton's Hill, good morning.
Morning, Egan.
Yeah, good. What did you do that you reckon no one else has done?
Okay, so back in the day, I was a high-rise scaffolder, and there was a building that was under construction in Brisbane City, and it's got these eyebrow beams on them that go like 2 metres off the face of the building.
Yeah.
And I did the walk out to the very tip of it and took photos of my feet looking down to the street.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no fear of heights.
No fear of height. My underneath my feet get tingly thinking about that. Just thinking, God, that's amazing. You only did it the once, Casey?
I've done a few things like that, but yeah, that was definitely the one that I believe was
no one else.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible! What about this one? Thanks, mate. Thanks, Case. What about this one, Shane from Brackenridge on the burner phone? I once did 9 festivals in 9 days.
Oh, I love that.
I started in Brisbane, then I went to Sydney and Melbourne before finishing back in Brisbane. Probably set the record for no sleep and most beers drunk.
That's a good effort. 9 festivals in 9 days. That's...
Even Maradona would say respect.
Yeah. Hayden from Kelvin Grove, good morning.
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. What did you do?
You know James May's Toy Stories? He built a 1-to-1 scale Spitfire Airfix model.
Yeah.
And when I was in the UK visiting, I gave it a lick.
You licked a Spitfire plane?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
What a proud moment. Did you ring your mum? Tell her. Hey, mum.
Hey, Hayden.
All that money you spent on school.
I licked a model Spitfire.
A 1-to-1 scale model Spitfire.
Okay. So had you always, was that your ambition? Some people want to go to uni. Some people want to play for the Broncos. Was that always your ambition?
No, I thought it was just in the moment.
Spur of the moment.
Like, great.
Truly original.
Right.
It honestly, that sounds like something I yell at my son not to do. Stop licking that plane, mate. You can't lick planes.
Hayden, we're going to give you a $100 voucher for Maniac's Axe Throwing. You can give one of the axes a lick. Experience the action at Maniac's Axe Throwing. Book online now and come bury the hatchet. Well, you got him, Margo. You got the originality.
Oh, people, there were others. We might bring that back at some
stage. Well, nobody else rang to say they'd gone over the bridge, the arc.
No, so he has. So I'll get back to my mate who doesn't listen to, my best mate who doesn't listen to the radio show, doesn't acknowledge that I work on radio. He thinks it's a silly
Confirmed.
Job. Well, he thinks it's a silly job. He said, mate, you're a carpenter. Why would you be doing that? Anyway.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
I take great pride in buying gifts for people. I like to think that I'm a really good gift giver. It is my love language after all.
Hey, we've told you none of that nonsense anymore, that love language.
It's a real thing. You should read it. Okay. But yeah, I take pride in giving gifts. I like to consider people and what they might like or what they might need. You know, sometimes it could be a practical gift. Sometimes it could be just, you know, like just something really lovely. Like I thought of you. and I saw this and I wanted to give it to you just for no reason.
When everyone asks me, and Nick's I think the same, they say, what's she really like? And we say, both say, really generous. You are a really generous person.
Thank yes. you. I appreciate that. And I wish that my husband had have taken that approach when I bought him a gift home the other day. You know, we've got our wedding anniversary coming up this weekend, so I'm kind of in
what
the...
What year is it?
12 years married.
Oh. It's an awkward year, isn't it? Like being age 37.
A dozen.
Yeah, it's
what do you get? Like what do you get nothing. For a dozen? Eggs?
Oh my God.
Hot cross buns?
Of course, the 12th year, is it?
So, the 12th year wedding anniversary gift is pearl and silk. And so you're kind of thinking of ideas and ways you can incorporate that into gifts for men. You know, maybe a nice silk tie or
necklace.
A pearl face watch, perhaps, gentlemen.
I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah. We don't need to acknowledge why.
No. And so, like, I always, like, put lots of thought into it. Yeah. And the other day I saw something that I thought he really might like and enjoy. Mm. And I wanted to reward him, not for our wedding anniversary this weekend. This is a separate present. You know, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah. And your birthday's coming
up. My birthday's coming up,
only a couple months away.
I know. Yeah. She hasn't told us since yesterday.
But I saw this thing and I was at the shop and I thought, you know what? You know, he's been grounded this year, so he hasn't been able to fly as much as he normally does. He's been cooking and cleaning and taking the kids to school every morning. And I wanted to just give him a present to say I appreciate you and thank you for all the hard work you do because I'm here in the morning, so I can't be at home with the kids. Mm. You know, and having four kids, it's a tough job with them all the time. It's relentless and it's, you know, it's never ending.
And you did it for years, so you know how hard it is.
I know how hard it is.
But now you just come to work and scull beers out of footy boots. It's bloody...
Exactly.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Don't want to go home ever. But
where are
I saw
you going
this thing.
With this?
Well, I saw this thing and I wanted to buy it for him because I thought he would appreciate it in and amongst all the hard work that he's been doing at home. And he didn't. Seemed very enthused by it at all. And I'm very disappointed.
Well, hold on. Run it by us.
I bought him a vacuum cleaner because he cleans and he vacuums and he mops. And the vacuum that we had, it's one of those plug-in ones at the wall. What's it called? Vacuum
Dyson.
Made. We've got a vacuum made and you've got to carry that big rope around with you and it's a bit of an effort. So I thought I'd get him one of those cordless stick vacuum cleaners.
Oh, stick, not a backpack.
A Dyson one, but you know, like a heavy duty
one.
Did
he
want
a backpack
one? Engine. It's like a V11.
V11 cyclone.
Yeah, I thought he'd love
that.
Is that why he didn't like it? Is that how you try to sell it to him? Hey, cos, I know how you love like your V8 cars. Here, this thing. Oh, my God. Hear that? The rumble. The rumble of the Dyson.
So ungrateful.
I so much hope that. What would he buy you? A doormat or something or other?
You're going to be the first person to have a personalised number plate on a vacuum cleaner. And I'm looking forward to it.
No, this is payback because for Mother's Day 2 years ago, he bought me the V6. And I thought, you dog.
Oh, you've upgraded.
Muggle dog, buy me a vacuum cleaner for Mother's Day. Who do you think I am?
The Big Breakfast. Triple M. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
And what an honour it is, once again, to have the man who recorded this top-selling album. Hey, hey, where the listen to him in there.
There he is.
What a song. If you don't buy a single of that for someone for Christmas, you're mad. Kevin Walters. Hello, mate.
Good morning, all. How are we? Look, that's Hey, Hey, with the Broncos. That's nearly 30, 40 years ago now, Marto.
Something you'll never live down, Kev.
You keep saying you want to reconnect with the fans and all the rest of it. Do all the team members know that? Like, that should be the anthem?
Well, that was part of our initiation, yeah, for the boys to come in to start to kick off the pre-season was to listen to that song, the whole version of it as well.
Wow.
And then, to make it worse, we flipped it over for the B-side, and that's our rap song. I'm sure you've all had the rap song.
If anyone does it, that's the Ipswich Connection, of course, was your old band with Alan Langer.
That's it, yeah. And look, it's been great in here, I've got to say, the first 3 or 4 days with the working with the new players. A lot of younger players around, so, you know, it's been good, really good, I've got to say.
Kev, Marto and I were just discussing whether it's Kevolution or Kevnation. Which one would you prefer when we address you, Sir Kevin Walters?
I just prefer Kevin Walters. That'd be fine, I think, I reckon. But look, it's I've just been for a walk this morning talking with my wife, Narelle, and we got the draw out yesterday for, you know.
Yeah.
You happy with it?
Yeah, very happy with it. I mean, there's no easy runs as such or draws. There's no soft draws or any of that. So we finished last. So we've got to play against everyone that's finished in front of us next year when we kick off. So
good
that's a big challenge for the boys. We spent Monday shoveling all the spoons off the field so we could start training. So that was a bit of a task as well.
No, they were already gone.
Kevy, we obviously watched last year an abominable year for the Broncos. You obviously watched along from the sidelines as well. We know about players shifting and obviously coaches and assistant coaches, a change up of staff. What are we actually going to do on the field? What are you going to change?
Well, the big one for me, Margo, is our defence and our attitude towards defence. I mean, we all know defence wins the big games. We saw it, you know, in State of Origin, the wall of Maroons defence in game three. The one in the game, basically. So that'll be our big focus through the off-season, through this period, and then after Christmas as well. There's a huge focus on, one, you know, our technique in the tackle, and two, our line speed, three, our contact, all of these things, and working together. I mentioned, you know, working together off the field. Well, what's most important is these boys come together as one on the field and they're working together, which, you know, we started on Monday.
Yep.
And the process is underway.
And just on that, Kevy, I read Cam Smith's book and it featured heavily, and you try to think, how did Melbourne Storm have that success? And he spoke a lot about vomiting at training. Now, how have the boys gone this week? I heard there was only one. I don't think that's enough to get us on the premiership road.
No, there was two or three. In the first, there was a couple of young players that sort of just finished school last year.
Been to schoolies.
They're in wilderness this year with no competitions to play in. Yeah. So they fell off the train a bit. We asked them to do we did a 1.2-kilometre time trial to start the session, and we said, leave nothing in the tank. Well, I can assure you, two or three of them left nothing in the tank. There was plenty of orange peels and tomatoes and that on the field.
Excellent. That's what it takes, Kev. That's what it takes. Who's the most famous player that we'd know that came up the head of that field of the 1.2K?
The 1.2 would be Tessie New.
Ooh, you know, nice. He's a young fullback.
A young fullback centre, yeah. So he's got himself in great nick and looking forward to a good season. Another younger player, but looking forward to a great season, yeah.
Plenty of disheartened members, Kevy. What can you assure them for next year?
Assure them that every time they come to Suncorp Stadium to watch their team play, they will leave the stadium extremely proud of the team and their performance. And we're not going to win every week, Margo, but we're not going to leave our members and our fans and all of our supporters, our families, dry and that empty feeling. You know, it's okay. You can't win every week, and I understand that, but our players and our fans and everyone needs to know that when they're coming to the game, they're coming to watch Broncos team, it's going to make them proud.
Kev, I checked out the draw. 90% of our games will be at night time. Why don't you train at night? And like Tevita Pengai Jr. looks so good, he's been working at the nursery. Why don't they all put in a morning's work, get ready for training, and train at night time?
Well, introduce a bit of that nighttime training. I think that's a good idea, Marto. Certainly, you should try and train as much as you can when you play. Yeah. So after the new year, we'll get in. We'll get some lights here at Fulcher Road so we can do that. Or we can always go to Suncorp for our last run as well. But, yeah, that's a good idea and something that we'll introduce, you know, in the new year.
But there's room out the back of the Broncos. Build a nursery. Get them all working in there and Tevita can run it and grow some shrubs.
Well, Tevita, they tell me, has had a master trainer for the part, you know, through October, November. A former Bronco player that was has been getting him into shape, and he's in good nick. So,
you've got
you know who that person is, Margo?
Oh, yeah, I know a little bit about him, mate.
Oh, we've got him in great shape.
You've got to get him in there as your assistant, mate.
Oh,
we've had a conversation yesterday.
I heard.
Had a conversation. We'll keep got some plans in place.
Hey, Kevy, Merry Walters. Merry Walters. Merry Christmas.
See you later. Bye bye. Let's go, Broncos.
Let's go, Broncos. Okay. Triple M.
Friday morning in the River City, Triple M Big Breakfast, Marto, Margo and Nick Cody. It is Friday, so we are doing Dobbiner Tight Ass Frugal Friday after 7:30.
Might have some answers to question, Marto. Our big announcement is not, in fact, that I'm pregnant with a fifth child, because that's impossible, unless it was somebody else's baby and not my husband's baby. No, but we do have a massive announcement to make. We make them all the time, and I know you always get so excited because we've got plenty of prizes to give away or competitions that we're running. No. But this is something of a different nature, Marto.
Yeah, well, and it's not that Dobbo is the new Broncos fitness coach. this is my final show on the Big Breakfast. Today's my last show with you legends, and I just want to say a massive thanks to all the people I've worked with over the last 2 years. This is genuinely a joy to wake up. We get up at 3:50 every day, and it's the best fun. The team here, of course, is massive.
but it is packed wall-to-wall with champions. You know, out there, the guys on the front line, Jack the Labrador, Snowy the bloke who owns more jerseys than Rebel Sport. You've got Dick Navis on the socials and Rick, our audio genius. It's amazing to get to work with such professional dickheads every day. We can't forget the blast from the past. Maxie and Brendo, you know, they're dead to us, but we still love you.
Go on,
Jess, Viv, Tilly, Luce, the street team and the entire crew. I just want to say a massive thanks for everything. And Rex and Scotty for all the help and for keeping the show in tip-top shape. Does that make sense? But most importantly, I want to say a big thanks. Not Thierry, I've just had 10 coffees. The legendary listeners, my mates don't understand how we get up so early for this job, but honestly, the calls and stories that we get to hear every day make it all worth it. From the silly ones, you know, big names in your workplace and Frugal Fridays, they're ridiculous enough, but then when did your truck get stuck? And my personal favourite thing I've ever heard over the last 2 years, when did you have to pull out your own teeth? Your stories are the best and never fail.
What about
to
the
make
stinkiest
us laugh.
Stink you've ever smelt?
Smelliest smell you've ever smelled. Brizzy, I just want to say thanks so much for making my family feel so welcome in the time that we've been here. And now, to the big three, Marto, Margo, and I hope I pronounced this right, Dave? Is it Dave? I don't know. All year. Is it Dave? And nobody's told me. It's been so much fun, guys. Please, never change. You're the best, and I can't wait to have a couple of cheeky rumbos when I see you in 2021. Nice. Thank you so much for all the fun over the last couple of years. It's been, again, an absolute pleasure and so, so much fun. And that's my favourite thing in life is having fun.
Yeah.
So thanks for help making me have it every single day.
Well, now you're going to Terry and Bob and Robin. I hope you enjoy it.
No, I didn't cry enough then.
No, Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've only had the opportunity to work with you for the last 12 months. I know you've been here for
two years
with Marto. But he has been absolutely a delight every morning, making us laugh here in the studio. And we've just loved having you on board. We know that bigger, better opportunities lie ahead for you now that you're a big TV star.
It's not that at all.
We couldn't afford
family.
That's quite simply that your family is. They want to go down.
Every family member is in Victoria.
Nick's going back to Melbourne.
Nick is going back to Melbourne. We are going to miss him dearly. Let's have a little look back at the last few months with Nick.
Is this a stitcher?
That's 2 years.
You want to know the lowest OP requirement?
Yes.
No. Substitute teacher. Don't need to be a rocket scientist to put a DVD on. I assume when you get home from radio, you just pop your false teeth out, you put them in a glass of water, and you just look through the curtains out into the street. What are these no gooders up to? I'm worried that the E-Grand Prix won't have the same vibe of a real car race. I want to hear engines revving. I don't want to hear nerds start your computers. Because the shuckers are a very positive thing. It's never a sad shuckers, you know what I mean? You don't walk out of a hospital and give the shuckers and they go, oh, passed. You know? I just imagine turning up at home and I'm crying and my wife Luch is like, what's happened? I'm like, I went to a party. They said there were just some couples coming. I was tricked. I felt uncomfortable. She's like, what, swingers? I'm like, no, it was a vegan barbecue. It was just veggies on the thing, Luch. I don't know what it is. Get your boarding pass and then hand you a new one. And you're like, what's Wuhan? And I go, don't worry, mate. Enjoy your trip. It's nice to know that even when most of the world is in lockdown, ICES are still out and about giving us news to discuss. A daytime sober kebab. What sort of human is having a daytime sober kebab? That's why you should cop a fine. You're a weird unit. What would you rather? Would you rather eat the food from a strip club or have somebody that works at Macca's strip for you? How long until the bloke that ate the bat gets a statue? What an absolute legend.
Champion.
Well, the last time a ship docked here for ages, it all went well, so thanks, Ruby. They detected no irregularities in the pre-race test, but the post-race sample detected the presence of cocaine.
Oh,
so the horse wasn't cheating, just celebrating.
Oh,
there it is.
Great.
I mean, I can't speak for you, Marto, but Nick would have to be my favourite comedian I've ever worked with. I mean, he is my first. I know you've had 12 or 13
you know
or
what
14
normally
of
is?
Them.
Most of them have terrible mental disabilities. You are the
I've
only.
Only got...
No, you are the only one with a super duper attitude. I love your attitude and your comedy, oh, mate. Yeah. You've been tremendous.
Thanks so much, guys, and until next time.
off to the folk breakfast, Triple
M. Hey guys, it's Friday, which means it's time
Friday.
Time to do this. Yeah, that's right, Dobbin a tight ass. Right. It's Frugal Friday. We do it every Friday. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call if you've seen some frugality in your life, or 0484-10-1045. You can text us on the burner phone.
Can I get a ruling on this? Tell me if this is tight or not. I don't know if Margot will appreciate this, but a few weeks ago I took my wife out for lunch, and at the restaurant when we were sitting there, a bottle of champagne turned up to the table. And I said, we didn't order champagne. And they said, this has been ordered for you, and it's a gift from one Mrs. Margot Parker. So Margot's just jumping in on birthday lunches she's not even at, which I do appreciate. Wow. It was a beautiful gift, but we never drank the champagne that day. My wife went home to Victoria. I never got to drink it. I've still got a few months of no booze left.
What?
So I've sent the champagne into the studio today so we can all, you guys all in there can have a
it's currently
end
in the
of year champagne.
Oh, that's nice.
But I have re-gifted the champagne for an end of year champers. Is that tight?
Yeah. I'm happy to drink my own bottle of champagne.
That is tight ass.
Don't you worry.
That's almost thrifty, which is clever.
Is me not sharing it with any of you because I paid for it, so I'm going to drink it? Is that tight ass behaviour?
Tight ass. Mm. That's evil.
Well, there are examples of it. Here's some other examples.
My father-in-law takes a cake. He took my kids to McDonald's one day when they were little, took a packed lunch.
Tight ass.
My dad used to always get a Christmas card, scrub out the Merry Christmas, and put happy birthday.
Frugal Friday, Dob in a tight ass, the biggest tight ass you've ever encountered. There's a family pass to Christmas putt-putt at Victoria Park up for grabs.
Troy from North Lakes.
Yeah, my nan used to collect the old bits of soap and had a soap press and used to make her own bars of soap. And you used to go there like Christmas holidays and it was like Neapolitan soap. You didn't know if you should eat it yourself with it.
All the different colours.
Now, the soap press, was that originally some other tool or weapon and then she used it to rebuild bars of soap?
Oh, I think it used to be like a butter thing that she's a butter press and she's made it into a soap press. So, yeah, it was pretty weird.
How clever.
Those wars really knocked that older generation around.
Yeah, because
that's fair enough.
With leftovers,
that was 70 years ago.
I just do the waffle stomp, you know, in the plug. You just push little bits of soap with your toes into the drain.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Sid,
and then it all builds up and you've got a blockage.
Sid!
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Who's the tight ass, Sid?
Oh, it's my missus. I hope she's not listening.
Oh, who cares?
But
she might be radio's free.
No, I think she's a B105 fan, so I'm pretty safe.
Wash your mouth out with soap, Sid.
Yeah. That's grounds for divorce.
Well, no, she does the strangest thing. You know, ever since we've got this bottle recycling thing, she actually starts collecting these. So as we go out for lunch or dinner, she'll order a soft drink, and she'll actually carry the empty can out. And at the cashier, invariably, I've been noticing her. She acts like she's having a sip. Like there's still something left in there, so she can actually walk out with it.
Oh, God.
And 10 cents, mate, and she's carrying a Louis Vuitton bag.
Has she got a plastic lining inside her handbag for her empties?
No, she doesn't put it in her bag. She'll just carry it out in her hand, and then she's got a little tub in the back of her car, in the boot. She'll chuck it in there.
Oh,
well, that's why she can afford Louis Vuitton, because she's a tight ass when it comes to everything else.
Can we just go back to Sid briefly? I'm sorry. It's a big day. Sid, you are a sometimes cricket correspondent. Sid from Kenmore. Big day. 140 today. You're going to be watching the one day against India?
Brother, absolutely. I can't wait. It's been a long time between drinks, isn't it? Watching some live cricket.
Oh, King Kohli.
Last night. Not too long in between drinks for me.
Thank you, Sid. Sorry. Where were we?
Dean from McDowell. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing this.
Tight ass.
Do you know one?
Yeah. I reckon my wife is one. So every time we go out the house, she's got a bottle of ketchup there because she refuses to pay for extra sauce and she's got it ready to go for an instant.
Tight ass. She needs more spice in her life. Dean, my wife carries salt, pepper, Tabasco, and one other thing, maybe some mayo in her handbag.
Really?
Is this standard?
Oh, yeah.
Dean?
It's all condiments cat.
Condiments cat.
Your wife does that. Do you do that?
No, never.
Haven't you got any spices in your bag?
Beyonce has some hot sauce in her bag, though.
How do we know that?
She sings about it in one of her songs.
Well, she's
tight ass.
Back next year.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M. Marto, Margo and Nick Cody. If you missed the announcement, this is Nick Cody's final show on the Big Brekkie. So we've got his final Bogan News just up to 8 o'clock.
And we'll play this as a tribute to Maradona because he scored so many goals. They give that bloke a miss. That's how their commentators, that's how they describe their goals. They go forever. Oh. They have competitions to see who can do it the longest.
I thought that was Diego finishing the stash.
No. All right, listen, let's play proper.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Honest to Diego.
The man worshipped in Argentina as El Dios, the god.
Burko in Argentina, and you look at whatever your TV screen in the last 24 hours, crowds rush to mourn him. Mm. Now, he's going to be dead for a while. You don't need to rush your mourning. You can just amble into your mourning. Where are you going? Slowly. Oh, I've got to mourn Diego and stuff. The bloke was a dead set cheat.
An act of deception he called the hand of God. England was robbed, but 3 minutes later, a breathtaking run from the halfway.
He also scored some of the greatest
did
goals.
Did he learn his lesson, though? And
did he learn his lessons? I don't know. But did you see the
latest
one? He
didn't do it again, did he?
No. Yeah. But you know what he did was what most soccer strikers do. He fell over and tried to gain a penalty in the penalty box, I reckon, more than any other human being. Well, that's tough in the soccer world.
We love to hate a cheat here in Australia, don't we? Like the cricketers and the swimmers.
Whereas Argentina, what does this say about the Argentinian people? And you see them play rugby, they're so proud and patriotic and all the rest of it. They've stopped for their nation for 3 days for a bloke who kicked the ball a piece of leather around. Like 3 days of mourning, their whole nation. All right, I'm just going to put it to you. Wally dies at some stage.
King.
At some stage it will happen, hopefully in 20 years' time. Mm. I'll slow down for 10 minutes. We're not taking 3 days off, are we? Who would we stop? Was there anyone in Australia died, would we stop for 3 days?
Oh, maybe Frank Walker, National Task. He's a...
What about the Rugs a Million guy?
No. Warwick Capper.
There is nobody. Warwick Capper. Oh, I'd give that 5 minutes. Mm. There's no one. We don't care.
It wouldn't be a mourning. It would be a celebration of loss.
Warwick Capper. Isn't that something to look forward to?
The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
And it's time for the final one of these.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast. From the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast. It's Triple M's Bogan's News.
We're heading down to Sydney for the final Bogan News story of the year, where two men have been arrested after stealing 45 bonsai plants and selling them online to purchase drugs.
How much did they get for 40? They're the little plants.
Now, have a guess. They're 45. Expensive. 45 bonsai plants. What do you reckon the total amount? Right.
Depending on how big they are, bonsai trees normally about $300 or $400.
All right, I'm going to say 200 each, so that's 45. That's $9,000 worth.
Acting Inspector Scott Luke said, conservatively, the worth could be between $30,000 and $40,000.
Oh, F
word. Why would you even grow drugs anymore? Just grow some bonsai plants in your joint. Make a profit. God. The 37-year-old, how bogan is this, is alleged to have stolen a bonsai plant from the front yard of a private home, put it in the front basket of a BMX bike and rode away with it. If you're over 18 on a BMX and you're not at a skate park, you're up to no good.
Nick.
What?
Careful.
I said not at a skate park.
Careful.
Not at a skate park.
BMXs will come for you, mate.
And now here's a chance, Brisbane, to make some money for Christmas because police said they haven't been able to reunite any of the stolen plants with their rightful owners yet.
Oh, four of them were mine. Is that what you say? Yeah, I had four.
1,000%. Yeah. Get in. Just start calling up and saying you had it. The problem is, though, police said anyone wishing to claim a stolen bonsai should have evidence of their ownership. evidence of bonsai ownership. That is definition of a hoarder. If you've kept the receipt from a bonsai purchase, you've got mental issues.
Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
There was a moment during the week where I got to do some activities with the kids down along the Brisbane River there for River Life. I did some filming with Channel 9. The Christmas carols are on.
When's that going to be on? You spent all day Wednesday doing it.
Yeah, next Saturday night. Next Saturday night. Nice. 5 o'clock, the Channel 9 Christmas carols are going to be on. And they do little segments highlighting the River City in between the carols. And this year, the Parker family will be featuring.
Wow.
And so we got to go down along the River City and do some really cool activities. It was going to be kayaking and water bikes, and we were going to have a picnic in the park, and went down and checked out that prawn trawler at Kangaroo Point.
Prawn Star or whatever
prawn
it is.
Prawn Star, yeah, who serve beautiful fresh.
Oh, give that a wrap. They're not advertising or anything like that,
no.
But that thing is incredible around the dockside side of Kangaroo Point.
Yeah, they've only just opened a couple of months ago. And yeah, he does beautiful fresh seafood if you want to pop down for a date.
So you were showing people who'll be watching Channel 9 all the stuff you can
do. Treasures of the Brisbane City that you can get out and do with your kids this summer during the school holidays. Plenty to keep them entertained. And one of the activities that I may or may not have forgotten to mention to my children that they would be partaking in for the day was abseiling. We headed down to Kangaroo Point, the cliffs there, harnessed them up, pretty much attached them to a rope and went, off you go, over the edge kind of thing.
So just for anybody who doesn't know abseiling, there might be someone's never been on a school camp. You rock climb up if you want, and you go down on ropes.
Abseil
going
down
backwards.
Backwards.
It's a real test of faith.
But the thing is my kids started at the top. And
did you go first or last?
Well, I may or may not have participated, Marto. I just thought I'd throw them in the deep end and get them
to do it because
they're kids.
Where were you then?
Well, I was at the bottom watching.
Wouldn't you be at the top?
Encouraging them and motivating them, you know, as I do.
Hold on. Were you down the bottom? Hurry up and get down here, kids. Was that your support?
Well, I found myself in a position because Memphis, our daughter, is 10 and Wiley, he is 9.
That's young to be abseiling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nick? I don't know.
But they meet the height requirements and they do novices all the way through to experienced climbers. So it was safe. And we had a great guide that was helping them, and Wiley went down first. And he got down, and there I am encouraging.
He's a daredevil.
He's a daredevil. And I can only see him from behind because he's 10 metres, 15 metres up in the air. And so I'm like, good job, mate. You're doing a great job. Keep going. And it wasn't until he got halfway down to like a little platform that he turned around and looked at me.
Oh, you don't look down.
With the worst.
Don't look down.
Most fearful look in his.
Yeah, he started looking down.
His poor little
face.
Don't
look down. It's so far away.
He scared himself and he rattled himself and he looked at me and he burst into tears. He said, I can't do it. And he just kept shaking his head. I can't do it, Mum.
This is where you stand up. What did you do next?
I said, mate, I wouldn't do anything to put you in harm's way. You are okay. You're halfway there. Just another, you know, couple of metres to go. I'll be here. You'll be fine. Didn't bribe him with anything. Jeez. But he stood there and he was frozen for a good 5 minutes. And he was like, nah, I can't do it. And I said, well, you can't go back up. You got to come down.
That happens. I went bungee jumping in Thailand a few years ago, which is, I know, a weird sound. I broke one of my life rules, which is no extreme sports where you can't drink the tap water. But I thought, I'll have a crack. And one of the things was he said, don't look down, because if you look down, you'll grip the sides of the thing and your body, your brain's smart.
Yep.
Your brain's saying, survive, you idiot. So the poor little man, you know.
Well, you know what? He did it. He knew there was no other way other than to come down, and I wasn't bloody going up to get him, I'll tell you that. So anyway, so we encouraged him, and he did it. He bit his bottom lip, and he came down, and
faced
then
his fears.
Got to the bottom, and he wanted to do it all over again.
Of course.
Some people are wicked. You know, I was talking to Kath about this last night. I'm buying her for Christmas, or at this stage, unless she sobers up and says no, a jump out of a plane at Gold Coast onto the Kira Beach.
No, thank you. I'm not a risk taker at all.
She isn't either, but you've got to face your fears.
That's what I want to know, Marto. What were you made to face? Or maybe you voluntarily thought, hey, I've got to get over this fear. I'm just going to do it.
Public speaking, number one fear for people.
Reversing the trailer at a boat, at a crowded boat ride.
Right in front of people.
So nerve-wracking.
Face your fears.
Maria from Kedron, did you overcome a fear?
Halfway, yeah. I made my two of my children climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge at night with me.
Yeah.
So I figured doing it at night, you wouldn't have quite the perspective of the height. My son was the last one sort of on the people that went over, and he started hyperventilating straight away.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Pulse went up to about 130, but we couldn't do anything. So, like you, Margo, he just had to do it. But, yeah, I have fought some of my height fears, but he still hates me for that, and he still hates height.
But he got over it. So once he got up, did he say that was actually magical? What a great time.
For about 2 seconds when you're crossing over the, like going over the cars, because the guy said, no one stops here. We just walk straight across over the top of all the cars. People stopped and he just goes, Mum, get me off. Look, it was good fun. And
Maria, he gave it a go.
Maria, you ever jumped out of a plane? Maria's still there. Maria,
I want to, but my kids won't let me.
Oh, you've got to do it. It's the most, everyone, can I just say, I've only ever done it once. That's all you probably ever need to do it. You tingle, your whole body tingles for about half an hour afterwards.
Whoa.
It's extraordinary. Your whole body though, Margo, you've got adrenaline going through everything.
No reason to jump out of a perfectly good pain. Marto. Hey, a text comes through on your burner phone from Pete. He said his fear is realising his wife is home when he walks in the door with new fishing gear.
Oh, that's a great call.
Leah from Bethania, facing your fears. What did you have to face?
Guys, I used to ride a motorbike and I crashed my first bike.
Oh.
And got the skin off and down to the bone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It took me 14 years and I got back on it. I got on another motorbike and I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, nice.
You did it. Good job, Leah.
I did, yeah.
Hold on. Were you passenger or riding?
No, I was riding. I got blown off the road in a storm. A bit of wind caught me in the fairing, and it just took me straight off the road into the gravel and straight off.
Oh, that's an incredible 3 or 4 seconds while you're wondering what you're about to hit.
Yeah, especially when you realise that you're taking the skin off your bum.
Mm. Oh, ouch.
Well, Leah, a bit safer than riding a motorbike is putt-putt. You're going to give you a family pass for Christmas putt-putt. Victoria Park's Christmas putt-putt is back.
You really are emptying the prize cupboard.
It is festive season.
I'm terrified of tiny windmills, though, Dave. Will I be fine at putt-putt?
Victoria Park's Christmas putt-putt is back this festive season, open every day until December 31. 104.5 Triple M, it's the Big Breakfast, Marto, Margo and Nick Cody. This is Nick's last show. There is a highlights package on our socials, Triple M Brisbane. Almost time to say goodbye.
Very sad. The last day, the last break of the year, and then we have a little rest and we'll be back early January.
Yeah, Marto, you and I will be back next year. Have no fear. The Big Breakfast will still be here. We'll just be just the two of us. Nick's staying down there in Melbourne and moving on to
bigger and better things. Yeah, other radio
stations.
There's
nothing bigger than the Big Breakfast. I mean, it is in our name.
They are not bigger and better things. They are things closer to my parents and my wife's parents. And
it's all about family. Family first.
Just review some of your achievements. And it's a surprise we're still on air because you think that some of the products he's been associated with. Help us out if you can, Nick.
Sports bet.
Yeah. Yeah. They almost went broke after you did an ad for
them. I did an ad for them. Then there was a global financial. Then the bloody COVID crisis. KO. So there was no sport on.
I remember that Virgin thing. They almost went broke after you did an ad for them. Yep. I don't know how we survived.
I did the Telstra ad for the Samsung Galaxy Note, which then started blowing up on planes.
He did some of Australia's best television with 20-1.
Oh, wasn't
of course.
That classic?
Accidental Heroes.
That's a really, really funny one. The last one laughing where we were really the last ones laughing.
Guys, before we go, it's Dave here. I just want to present
that's
something.
It. Who are you? That's your name.
Yes, Dave will be back next
I'll
year
I'll be here
too.
Next year as well.
Where, I thought it was Bave. How long have you been there?
All year. Since January.
Start writing some jokes, Dave.
Well, I don't know if you noticed what I've got here, a big stack of paper. This is every planning run sheet of 2020.
Oh, my God. Wow. You've kept them
all. That is a
thanks, babe.
Form of autism.
I've just been sitting across from you taking notes on everything that's happened because 2020, it's been pretty eventful. A few things have happened.
It has. It's been a big year, but what a year.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, Nave.
Well,
you're like one of those special footy club fans. You know, they go, look at that
kitty.
Well, to close out the Big Breakfast for 2020, I thought we'd just have a bit of a recap.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks, Save.
2020. What a shit year. In January, as our southern neighbours battled devastating bushfires, Marto, Margo and Nick jumped back in the studio for another big year of The Big Breakfast. And things couldn't have started any better.
At 5.50 this morning, somebody said the F word. Who was that?
No, that was me.
That wasn't Dave. That was Nick Cody.
All right. Hello. We are back for 2020. Some of the events early in the year included Marto's army marching to Suncorp in support of the Reds. We got Brisbane to honk for Holden. Margo revealed Corey was returning to the Broncos to play in the NRL Nines. And Nick Cody packed out the powerhouse for his stand-up show, Dad Bod. But little did we know that something was about to change the world forever.
Tiger King.
Tiger King. Tiger King.
The Netflix series had the world talking.
Tiger King. No, not that thing. This.
Coronavirus is spreading within Australia as we go to air tonight.
Some predictions have as many as 60% of Australians catching the virus.
This virus will kill.
Coronavirus! All of a sudden, the world was coming to grips with a global pandemic. Infections soared, borders closed, Brisbane went into lockdown, Marto, Margo and Nick broadcast from home, and perhaps weirdest of all, this was happening.
Shelves empty. The toilet paper crisis sparked by coronavirus fears is gripping the country.
And it got so bad that the Prime Minister had to tell us off.
Stop hoarding. I can't be more blunt about it. Stop it.
After a dark couple of months and way too many drunk Zoom calls, Queensland smashed the curve, life slowly returned to normal, and The Big Breakfast got back to doing what it does best, asking you to call for ridiculous talk topics such as...
When did your truck get stuck?
When did your pet get stuck? Smelliest smell you've ever smelled.
Not to mention giving away some amazing prizes.
$10,000 richer!
Big Breakfast snoring champion is...
Mark from Greenbank.
David and Lisa from Wishart have won.
But 2020 wasn't finished yet. Protests and riots broke out in the US. A second wave struck Victoria thanks to a horny security guard. Nick Cody got stuck in hotel quarantine. The Broncos had their worst season ever. The Reds lost the rugby grand final. And the Lions failed to reach the AFL's big dance here in Brisbane. In fact, it looked like this year was a write-off for Queensland sport until Origin Game 3 at Suncorp.
That's it, though.
Here he is. He's blown time. Yeah. Origin done and dusted. Queensland winning the Shield.
The Maroons were victorious, and Margot followed through on a promise she'd made to do a shooey out of her husband's 300-game boot if Queensland won.
Queensland! Oh, Queensland!
Queensland!
Marto, Margo and Nick closed out the year with Tradie for a Ladies, bringing single tradies and ladies together at Lefties to watch love blossom.
Oh, which one? What was her name?
Hayley, yeah. I'm so dusty this morning. Rebecca.
Yeah. Rebecca.
But wait, 2020 had one more sad surprise up its sleeve. News that The Big Breakfast would be losing someone very near and dear.
Hi, perhaps you recognize me. It's your favorite president.
Yes. Donald Trump lost the election. And we're also saying goodbye to Nick Cody.
Nick is going back to Melbourne. We are going to miss him dearly.
Not teary, I've just had 10 coffees.
Yes,
thank you so much for all the fun.
Well, now you're going to Terry and Bob and Robin. I hope you enjoy it.
No, I didn't cry enough then. Thanks so much, guys. And until next time.
Off to the fogies.
It's been an unforgettable year of The Big Breakfast on Triple M. We'll see you in 2021.
You mongrel dog.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, that was bloody awesome.
Brilliant.
What a year.
Made it sound like it was a good year.
Oh.
Well done, Dave.
Thank you, Rick, who's our audio person who cut that all together.
He is amazing. And those ridiculous phoners you make him make little jingles and songs for, I reckon that would be the worst part of
his
job.
He's very malleable and compliant. Let's do it again. Nick, you thanked everyone before. Let's thank Graham and Jack, our two producers. Who else have we got? Nick, our video producer. Rick, our audio producer.
Dave, our anchor, who keeps it all together and doesn't play our audio when we need to. And
Jess
does all the
and Tilly,
right sound
who
effects.
Put all our events on.
Yeah, promotions
and
team.
Dobbo, who calls in with some of the worst tips you'll ever receive for sports.
Exclusives that have already been printed in the Courier Mail that morning.
Okay. That's just nasty of you two.
That is nasty. I love you, Dobbo.
We love you, Dobbo.
See you in 2021. Bye.
That's another Big Breakfast done and dusted.
God, you do so much for this town.
For Christmas gifts they'll love, come home to Chemist Warehouse for great savings every day.
Triple M.